Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's Heart 1032, available on the web at heart1032.com.au.
Well, I guess if you had looked at Lynn Denton a few years ago, you would have seen her as somebody who had it all. She had the husband and she had the kids and she had grandkids. And yet, underneath all of that, Lynn was carrying the pain of a decade of childhood sexual abuse. Now, thankfully, that's not the end point for Lynn, because God has turned that horror around to become actually something beautiful. And Lynn's here to actually tell us about it. She's written a book about it. She's counselling people through it. And Lynn, it's nice to have you on Open House.
It's lovely to be here. It's my pleasure.
Can you ever really get over that kind of experience as a child?
Yes, I think you can. And I've proved that you can.
Mm. So you would feel you're fully healed from what you went through?
Totally. Hmm. Totally.
Very few people could say that, couldn't they? Unfortunately.
That's right. Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah. Now, in your book, you talk about the fact that you really wanted attention as a child, and yet your father was a little bit distant. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Very much so. Well, you know, I was born in the war years. I was the fourth child. I was the fourth child in a family of three older brothers. And my dad didn't have a trade and consequently had to travel away from home a lot. I was born in country, New South Wales, and my dad was a truck driver. And so we had to travel all over the state and sometimes interstate to try and get enough money to support his wife and family. And so consequently, he was never home. And with him not being at home, my mum was an extremely busy woman trying to look after three young children and run a household. And so me being the last of the litter, I kind of felt as though nobody cared about me, you know, that no one had time for me. And, you know, I was always in the road. And so when my dad was home, who I didn't see very often, I longed for attention that I didn't get.
Mm. And did that leave you vulnerable then?
Oh, very vulnerable.
To the advances of boys?
Very vulnerable. To men, actually. Because when my dad was home, he was a footballer, and of course football's been the big thing over this weekend. But, you know, country New South Wales, families would all bundle into a bus and we'd go to the next town and the men would play football and then we'd bundle in the bus and come back home again. And it was in the bus on one of those occasions where I found myself crawling up onto the knee, whoever man would allow me to crawl up onto his knee, and found myself in a very vulnerable situation. But I did not know what I was doing, what was happening to me was wrong.
And I guess your mum didn't see this? You know, no. In the sense that your mum, I guess, was, you know, she had her hands full, and so she couldn't say, hey, hang on a sec, don't do that.
Oh, well, she had no idea that, you know, I mean, I was a very happy child and I used to love to sing because the footballers would get me to sing and, you know, they'd be passing me from knee to knee and, you know, I was kind of, I guess, a bit of the life of the party, this little girl who was, you know, very bubbly. And that's right, she was always busy with the rest of the family. And I suppose she thought that, well, you know, I was being looked after so she didn't have to worry about me. Mm. But of course, you know, this went on for the next 9 years of my life in, you know, varying degrees as I got older, not realizing that what was happening to me was wrong. Because, you know, as a little child, you know, someone was paying me attention and we all know that our bodies are built that way to respond to touch and particularly the genital areas. And so as a little girl, I was being fondled in those areas and it was making me feel good. And so as a three-year-old, you know, you don't know that two and two adds to four, you
yeah,
know.
Well, I was going to ask you, how young were you? It was 3 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, I was 3-year-old. Mm. And, you know, to me it was just, it was a nice feeling and somebody was paying me attention. Mm. And so it just continued.
Who was it that first... Couldn't you remember? I was 3 years old. I can't remember too many things when I was three. I mean, can you remember actually, was it somebody you knew?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It was a family member or somebody
was,
close?
It was always somebody I knew. Yes, yeah, somebody that would have been trusted by the family.
That's what they always say, isn't it? You know, a good deal of the abuse actually happens by somebody known.
Oh, it does. You know, my mother used to tell me continually as a little child, don't talk to the strangers, you know, don't accept lollies from people, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, she never ever knew that, you know, her own relatives and friends of the family were doing this to me.
Wow. So it starts at 3 years of age and it continues on until you said 9 years or 10 years, so about 12.
I was 12,
so, yeah.
Yes.
At the point of 12 years of age then, how did it dawn on you, this may not be right?
Yeah, that was quite amazing, actually. As I said, I was born in country town and didn't have any girlfriends, grew up in a family of boys, and never really had any education on sex at all, even up to a 12-year-old. My mother never ever talked to me about it. If I ever brought up the conversation, she would always say, oh, you've got plenty of time to find out about that. And so it wasn't until I actually went to high school and started listening to what some of the girls at school were talking about various sexual activities. Mm. And I started to twig at that point that, hey, what had been happening to me wasn't what I thought it was. You know, here I'm thinking it's all under the banner of love, and discovering then that, you know, I'd literally just been used for lust and self-gratification of the people that had abused me.
Yeah. Lynn Denton is with us. She's a pastor. She's also an author. She's written a book called Changed Forever, which is all about her experience of then overcoming what we're just talking about, childhood sexual abuse. How many guys, how many men do you think it would have been over that time that actually did take advantage of you?
Probably about a dozen.
Over a 9-10 year period?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
It was, you know, when I think about it, it was almost as if I was walking around with a sign on my head, come
abuse
and get me.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You were talking about these, you know, experiences of talking with other girls or listening to other girls talking about their experiences in the childhood schoolyard.
Mm.
Did you tell them your story at
all?
No.
No? No, never
did. You twigged and then you realised?
Yes, I twigged.
This isn't normal.
That's right. Exactly. And at that point in time, I made a conscious decision in my heart that I was never going to have another thing to do with another man as long as I lived. Yeah, it was a heartbreaking experience, you know, because I'd so desperately longed for the love and attention of somebody, and then to find out that I was just, you know, that they weren't loving me at all. Mm-hmm. They were just abusing me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Lynn's agreed to take phone calls too, 1-300-40-2020. If you want to run something past Lynn, why don't you join us? 1-300-40-2020. Now, the fact is you did get married.
I did.
You actually met Barry.
I did.
At the age of?
16.
16. Okay, so 4 years later.
Yes.
Something changed and something was a little bit different about Barry then.
Very much so. Yes, this young man came into my life and I wasn't a Christian and he was. And he asked me, would I go to church? And I kind of thought, oh, well, this will be unique. Yes, okay. And I kind of liked this guy. And so, yes, went along to church and ended up hearing, you know, this sermon about this guy, Jesus, who loved me so much, you know. And so I kind of thought, oh, first of all, my reaction was, you know, love, you know, here we go again. What is love?
Mm.
And but then, you know, I had a feeling that everybody around me seemed very happy in what they were doing. And I thought, well, why not? So, you know, I made a commitment to Christ that night. Didn't hear any bells and whistles or anything dramatic happen in my life. And I just kind of thought, oh, well, we'll see what happens from here. But, you know, the people in the church were wonderful. They got alongside me and nurtured me and helped me and showed me the ways of God. And you know, I knew nothing about God. But the miraculous thing was that this young man, he really honoured me as a girl, as a woman, you know. He, for the whole 4 years that we dated, he never ever touched my body once.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gave me an understanding that not all men are alike, you know, and there really was somebody that, you know, loved me and cared for me enough that, you know, he honoured me and he wanted to keep me to be his virgin bride, of course not knowing that I was already very soiled goods.
Yeah.
But it you know, it was, you know, I know it was his way of doing that, but it was also God's way of bringing me back to understand that, as I said, not all men are alike.
Mm. Well, it would have been a beautiful lesson to have learnt. Now, did you tell anybody in the church, now that you were a Christian, did you tell anybody in the church about what had happened to you?
No.
Okay, you were still a...
I'd started to read the Word of God and I'd understood that, you know, God had forgiven me of everything in my life and that he was not going to remember it anymore. And I kind of thought, well, why should I? And so I just pushed it aside and I got on with my life. And, you know, I suppose when you think about it, I had a pretty good life. You know, we married and had four sons, and you know, they've all grown up to know the Lord, and you know, we've had over 40 years in ministry and got wonderful grandchildren, and you know, we've had our ups and downs, like everybody has ups and downs in life, and you know, being in ministry doesn't make it that you don't have your ups and downs. Mm. And so I just kind of thought, well, that was just life, you know. But about 4 years ago, in 2003, my life started to fall apart, and I couldn't work out why my life was falling apart. You know, my whole emotional system was just totally going out of whack. You know, I would have these incredible bursts of anger and anxiety and depression and jealousy and you name it. You know, I was just in quite a state and couldn't work out why, and you know, got to the point where I felt like I was living a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde experience, because I was one thing for our church parishioners and I was another thing in my home. Mm. And you know, the two were just warring all the time, and so much so that I had physically been affected by it as well, and it got to a point where, you know, I was almost a breakdown material, but no one on the outside knew it because I had this wonderful demeanor that would just cover up for everything that was
the
happening
inside. The
happy
girl who sings the songs.
Absolutely, absolutely. So nobody knew anything. And so that was when I came to the point when I thought that I have to get out of ministry. I can't stay here and live this lie any longer. Yeah. And so retired, and then 6 months after that, went to a women's conference that we have at our church. A woman got up and started to tell a story about how that. You know, as a child herself, she'd been sexually abused from 3 and till 12-year-old, and I'm sitting there, tears streaming down my face, and you know, I just, you know, I literally feel, well, I know now that it was literally like the voice of God saying to me that she's telling your story, mm. and what are you going to do about it? Mm. And this was the first time I had ever thought any more about it or been confronted by it, you know, in such a way.
Was this the first time that Barry heard about it now too?
No, 9 years prior he had heard about it. Okay. Through a, you know, quite a lengthy circumstances. But it was a matter of me just briefly telling him, and, you know, greatly accepting it in a way that I didn't think he would. You know, his reaction to it was, well, you know, we've all got things in our life that you know, we're not ashamed, we're not pleased about. Mm. But you know, that no matter what had gone down in my life as a child, that his love for me was just as strong as what it had always mm. been. And but you know, to me, being a woman, I needed to say a lot more than what I managed to get out that night telling him. But him being a guy, of course, was very happy with the few words that I told him and thought that everything in the garden was rosy and fine. But, of course, the next 9 years after that, every time I would try to bring up the conversation to him to try and tell him a little bit more about what had happened to me, he would just say to me all the time, "Honey, you don't have to tell me. Right. You don't need to tell me any more detail. You know, mm. I know, understand what you've gone through."
And yet you needed to tell the story.
But I needed
to
tell
it. Get it out.
I needed to get it out. Mm. And so it, you know, it became like an ulcer inside of me, starting to eat the life out of me, and it was getting out of control. And so that was what was making all my emotions go out of whack.
Right. Well, this is Open House, and we're hearing the story of Lynn Denton, childhood sexual abuse, and then I guess moving on from that, actually breaking free from that. So here you are, you're sitting in this conference, this woman gets up and tells a story, and basically everything's resonating in you, saying, mm. that's me.
Mm.
You then realised God's saying to you, what are you going to do about it from this point on? What did you do?
Well, I knew that I had to go home and tell my husband everything, whether he wanted to know it or not.
Okay.
Because I'd got to a point in my life where my life was such a mess that I was determined once and for all, it was going to all come out, and whatever his reaction was going to be, I was going to have to wear it. You know, I'd even got to the point that if he wasn't going to be able to cope with what had happened in my life, that I was prepared to give our marriage away because I didn't want to pull him down anymore. And so I knew, that this was my last chance. You know, I had to go home and tell him. And I remember going home from the conference that night and him actually saying to me, you know, was I getting anything out of the conference? And because I wasn't prepared to say anything to him then. And so I just, in my blasé, happy way that I could turn on and off, just said to him, well, one of these days when you've got 100 hours, we'll talk about it. And it was only a matter of days after that we were sitting out in our back balcony and he said to me, I have that 100 hours now. And so I knew it was crunch time. I knew that I had to bring everything out into the open. And so I made the comment to him that I had something to say to him that I should have said to him a long time ago, that I just needed him to sit and listen and not to interrupt me, because if he interrupted me, I wouldn't be able to start again. And then when I finished saying what I had to say, if he wanted out of the marriage, that was going to be okay with me. And so for the next 6 weeks, that man, every waking hour that we were together, sat and listened to all my stinking thinking. Yes. Wow. Because talking about stinking thinking, that was the second thing that the speaker said to me that night in that conference. She said that if anyone that had been sexually abused was ever going to get total recovery, they had to not only be able to forgive their perpetrators, not only to be able to ask forgiveness of people that they had hurt, but they had to be able to forgive themselves. And my first reaction to that was, forgive yourself? Why should I have to forgive myself? Because I didn't do this to me. And then, you know, I felt that I heard that voice of God again say, yes, you need to forgive yourself for all the stinking thinking. Mm. And I knew exactly what he meant.
LynnOvercoming.com, and that's L-Y-N, just the one N, LynnOvercoming.com, and of course the book too, Change Forever, which I'm sure you can find out more details about at the website. Lynn, thanks for coming in. Thanks for being open and honest and sharing your story.
It's my pleasure.
I'm sure it's given voice to a whole bunch of other people too. So
I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Heart 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit heart1032.com.au.